that's right. We are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery, 4:10 in the afternoon. And I tell you what, for women in business, this is going to be something you're going to want to hear about. You know, to me, one of the most difficult things in being in business is how to be not too overbearing on how wonderful you are. And because I don't think women actually do promote themselves enough, but I have a guest here who's going to talk all about what women in business can do. They've got some big, good help. South Carolina Women's Business Center is partnering over there in Clinton at the pharmacy school. We're going to be talking about some of the things. How about, have you ever heard of such a crazy thing, a hard hat tea party? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about it. My very special guest today, Janet Chrisley. How you doing today?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing great. Well, you certainly come with a wealth of information about things that women can do. But first, I think I'd love to talk a little bit about you. Now, you've written a couple of books.
I have, yes.
And what are the books about?
Well, my first book was Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. So it is a book to help women who are business owners capitalize on the fact that they are woman-owned, because there's a lot of opportunities out there for women-owned businesses, federal government, state government, local government, large corporations. So I found in doing consulting to women-owned businesses for 5 or 6 years that they did not know really how to make the most of it. So I wrote the book, did some seminars, and have continued, of course, to do that. But the book was designed to help them understand how important it is that they are woman-owned.
You know, in this economy, I suppose having a different ways to go, because going to the bank and getting financing in today's world just doesn't happen as much as it used to.
No, it does not. The banks don't give as many loans, and there's a lot of more requirements of the people that want to get the loans. They really want to give loans to people who've been in business for a good while and have a track record. And you can understand that when the funds are shorter. But that leaves those of women who want to start a business kind of high and dry as far as funding. So it means they have to have an even better business plan, have really thought through their model, understand who their customers are, do good projections, you know, all the things it takes to run a business.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, those aren't the things you really want to concentrate on. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, when you're creative and you have an idea and you'd like to see it go in that direction, it's hard to get all that information together.
It is hard. Sometimes I feel like a school teacher making somebody do their homework. But they're not going to get the loans, and they're not going to be successful without that. So it is hard. That accounting is not what I want to spend my time on, because I come from a marketing background.
Sure.
I want to be out there talking to people, or now I want to be writing books and doing fun things, but have to do all that paperwork.
Yeah. Okay. Gracie. Hello, Gracie. All right. Gracie is, Gracie feels a little bit threatened here today. What's wrong there, Gracie? Hey, Andy, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor, see if I can figure out what's going on with Gracie. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery. Looks like Gracie's going to be busy for a while. We're going to talk. We're talking today with Janet Chrisley. She is associated with the South Carolina Women's Business Center. But not only do you work with them, but you have your own consulting business.
Yes, I've had my own consulting business for 10 years now. And I have worked with small businesses for all that time, but I also do projects like for small business incubators or small business centers. So I might do a feasibility study for them or help them write a grant. So I've kind of looked at this small business, woman-owned business thing from several angles.
That gives you a lot of good perspective, doesn't it?
It does, yes. And some realistic approaches to things.
Yeah. So as far as what the South Carolina Women's Center does, now the first one was in Charleston.
Yes, the Center for Women down there, a well-established organization that has helped women in many ways, both entrepreneurs and women reentering the labor force, maybe having been laid off and looking for a job, help them increase their skills, financial planning, professional and leadership development. So they wrote the grant to get some funding from SBA to start the center. And the SBA partially funds it because they also have to go out and get donations for the a match. So every dollar that they get from SBA, they have to get a matching dollar. So it was established in October 2011 in Charleston, and they started offering workshops and counseling and things down there. And then October 2012, they started doing services in the upstate. And I say they, but I am it. I am the South Carolina Women's Business Center in the upstate.
One-stop shop, right?
Yes.
Well, that's good. Where do you actually operate out of?
Well, the same place my consulting business operates out of, and that is the office in my home.
Yeah. Okay.
I lived in the cubicle world in telecommunications for 25 years, and you couldn't get me back into a corporate environment, I don't think. But we have no facility in the upstate, so we rely on partners, and that's why we're doing the entrepreneurial readiness seminar that you mentioned in Clinton. We're doing it with the city of Clinton and with Presbyterian College's School of Pharmacy. I've done things at some chambers, Spartanburg Community College over in Duncan. I've done that. So we rely on the kindness of strangers, or I should say partners.
Strangers, partners. Well, you know, and what are you finding that are the things that women actually need the most help with?
So far, most of the women that have come to us, either in workshops, seminars, or for the counseling, they need help in either getting started, because they have an idea for a business, but they need to clarify that idea, and they need to then figure out how to understand who their customer is, lay out the business plan so that they can get funding and so that they can carry out the tactical things. Or if they've already got a business, they're trying to move it to the next level. So maybe they've been doing something out of their home, and they're not like me. They want to move out into a shop or an office, and so it's taking it to the next level. Maybe they've only been selling to consumers, and now they want to sell their products or services through someone else. Like they've been making jewelry, and now selling it online. Now they want to sell it to boutiques. So, or maybe they've been doing some cake baking and selling it to family and friends, and now they want to open a bakery. So whatever, they may have already been in business, but they want to move to the next level, but they're not sure how to go about that.
Now, what direction do you see businesses going? We're talking women's businesses here. So what direction do you see? Are we seeing more shops trying to open? What are people thinking as far as, I mean, I sit in my cubicle here at Sharp Facets in the radio station. So what is the world out there thinking about as far as businesses, how to set them up?
Well, women have a lot of traditional ideas about starting a business. So you'll typically see women doing catering or something around event planning, marketing, or staffing. That's the typical businesses for women. Unfortunately, the biggest opportunities, where the most money is, and actually the largest opportunities, are in other areas, like things in manufacturing and construction and selling to government.
Sometimes, selling to government?
Oh, yes. Well, they have all our money. We might as well be trying to sell it to them.
Exactly. I like that. Okay.
And what a lot of women don't understand is maybe they have been doing event planning and doing weddings, but they might could be doing big corporate events instead and making a lot more money. So they do one event and make a lot more money than they would do if they did two or three weddings. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we try to get women to do is sort of stretch themselves and think in other ways. And like I said, construction is one of the areas. So
women in construction?
Well, you don't have to be doing something to do with nails and hammers or laying asphalt.
Right.
Because, for instance, one company that I know about is a print shop, but she has broadened the printing so that she now does blueprint printing. So all the construction companies need her to do the printing of the blueprints.
Wow.
So that's construction oriented, and they pay a lot more than if you went in to get brochures printed for your jewelry store.
Sure.
So just getting them to stretch a little bit, if they're doing some kind of product to think about maybe selling it to Belk's, mm-hmm. so that Belk's is now selling it instead, because it's always better to get somebody else to sell your stuff.
Sure, exactly.
You're going to sell a lot more of it.
Sure. But I think one of the biggest things on those is going to that corporate office, and the other thing is having enough supply on hand, because when you go to a Belk's, they're going to take a lot of it.
Well, and that's a key thing. That's where we come in a lot of times, is helping them plan, because we'll go through an exercise with people to make sure that if they're doing some kind of production, whether it's jewelry or beauty supplies or anything like that, that they have the capability and that they have the time to do it. Because if they're trying to fold that in with another full-time job, or they have small children, which is another full-time job, but if they're trying to fold that in with something, they also have to make sure they have the time. So yes, they need to be prepared, because if they went to some place, say they did baking and they went to some health food stores, and those stores, or even local grocery stores, and they decided they would carry those cakes or whatever they were making, sure. and they don't have the capacity to meet it, then once they've asked for that and they gave them the opportunity, they'll never get the opportunity again.
Sure.
Because they were not ready for it. So you do have to be sure you're ready. It's also a little scary to go to those corporate offices. But one of the secrets that people don't seem to know is that a lot of businesses, especially corporations and also government agencies, they have reasons that they need women-owned businesses. There is a thing called supplier diversity, and women-owned businesses is a piece of that diversity. So large corporations either have what I call the social consciousness, meaning that they want to use more women-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. So they will set internal goals that they will spend certain amounts with women-owned businesses. So they are looking for them. Government agencies actually will require that of their contractors or of themselves. The federal government, the SBA, has goals, and all federal projects are supposed to spend 5% of all the money they spend with women-owned businesses. So there are opportunities. Now, that federal government, federal agency, may do that directly, or they may use their prime contractors and expect them to find those women-owned businesses. And Michelin is a good example of that.
Okay.
They have a federal contract. So for that federal contract, they have to spend 5% of the money they spend with women-owned businesses. So they have to have them, or they won't keep the contract.
Wow. You know, it is amazing when, I mean, how long have you been doing business, roughly?
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
And before that, you were in telecommunications and
for
others.
25 years, yes.
25 years in the corporate world. You know, you've got to admit, things certainly have changed how business is being done in today's world.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there's so many more regulations, which we're not going to talk about. But the idea that that they write contracts saying that, I suppose that has to do with minorities. Is it black, Hispanic? Do they have any of those type of things in them?
There are some goals for things that involve minorities, but there is really not, under the SBA, not a goal for how much money they'll spend with minorities. But in addition to that 5%, they're supposed to spend 23% of the money they spend with some kind of small business. And now that's over and above the 5% with women. They also are supposed to spend 2% with service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses.
Wow.
Then there are other areas where minorities are addressed. But most of the corporations who don't do it because they're required, just required by contract with the federal government or a state government, they do it, like I said, the social consciousness side. And there are plenty of corporations in the upstate that do that. And they set their own goals, and typically they will have one for what they call MBEs, which is a minority business enterprise, or WBEs, which is women business enterprise.
Interesting. How come we only get 5%? I'm sorry, I have to ask that question.
Well, you got
how much of the population do we make up here?
Yeah. Well, if you're a small business, that's you got a chance at another 23% of it.
Okay.
You know, most of the time, women own small businesses.
Sure.
There are not that many women who own huge corporations. And, you know, not individuals own huge corporations,
right,
typically anyway. So you got a chance at some more of it, but at least 5% of it is there, designated.
That's terrific. So we are here with Janet Christie. She represents the South Carolina Women's Business Center in upstate South Carolina. You are going to be having an event. Let's just cue people in what the event is before we go hear the news that's coming up over there in Clinton at the Presbyterian Pharmacy.
Yes, we have sort of our signature seminar, and it's the Entrepreneurial Readiness Seminar, and it is designed to help people who want to start a business, or as I said earlier, that want to take a business, an existing business, to the next level. So we go through some financial things to help you understand what kind of things a bank is looking for or some other institution that might lend you money. And then we also talk about what it's like to own a business, and a business that's growing and flourishing and or attempting to flourish.
How about a business that has just survived the downturn in the economy?
Yes.
Heck, those people need big pats on the back.
Yes,
I think they do.
Yes, you're right. And also, you mentioned that, you know, doing business has changed so much. So maybe a business has been around for a while and what they were doing is no longer working. So we can kind of help unleash that stagnant situation that they're in.
Unleash the hounds.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, we're here with Janet Christie. The event that we're talking about is 5:30 to 7:30 at Presbyterian College of Pharmacy over there in Clinton. The cost for the seminar is $20 per person. When we come back, we're going to talk more about it, so don't you go away. We'll be right back. South Carolina News is up. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos. So I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I tell you what, Janet, Christie, and I are having a great conversation. I tell you what, it's always exciting to talk to someone who knows business, is excited about business, and is even more excited about helping women become successful in business. Now, some people would say, well, that's not fair. Everybody needs help. What do you have to say, Janet?
Well, we certainly don't turn men away. If they're brave enough to come to our seminars, we'll help them too.
That sounds great. Now, we were talking about the one that you're going to have over there in at Presbyterian College at the School of Pharmacy. That's at 307 North Broad Street in Clinton. We said the cost was $20. But if someone wants to register for this or wants more information about it, how do they go about getting it?
They would go to our website, the South Carolina Women's Business Center website, and that's real easy. It's scwbc.net. So
is that wrestling? Sorry, I just had to put that in there.
I hadn't thought about that before.
No,
well, I can't promise there'll be wrestling, but there will be some good discussion.
Okay. South Carolina, what's the name of it now?
Women's Business Center. So scwbc.net. And that all the details about it and the registration is there. And registration and details on all our other upcoming things are there. Plus, there's some other resource information. And there's information, if anybody's listening because they're on the road and they're really from Charleston, of course, the seminars that we have in Charleston are on the same website.
Sure. So this is in the state. Now, you were telling me before we came on the air that there are centers of this cropping up across the nation.
Well, the SBA provides some funding to 80-something women's business centers throughout the United States. North Carolina has three. We had none until this one came about. So they are normally associated with some other organization, like the Center for Women is sort of the parent organization of ours. And in North Carolina, there's one that's associated with a women's center. There's two that are associated with economic development, small business development type organizations.
That's great. That's great. Well, you know, today we were at the job fair down there at the mall, and they were, of course, all talking about women. They were talking about business in general, getting more businesses going. You know, really getting businesses going and growing is such an important part of our economy.
Yes.
That we have to see everybody that wants to be in business, God rest their souls for wanting to do it.
You speak like someone who has experience.
Yes, I tell you what. You know, I think that's one of the things that I'm sure you get questions. I think a lot of people feel, oh, if I open my own business, I'll get some employees and I really won't have to work.
Yes. Yes, I do see that. I see people thinking that, but I do not see that happening.
Right.
And I see a lot of people that they want to start a business, women, and they think, now I can spend more time. I can do the business at home and spend more time with my children. I certainly didn't attempt to open a business when my children were small because it doesn't work usually very well. Some businesses you can do, but if you want to be a mom in the daytime and do your business at night, it may work, but it's difficult. You've got to actually be in business and set hours and set space and time aside to do the business, or it's not going to flourish. So if you think you're going to start a business and then do what you want to, you might want to rethink that entrepreneurship thing.
Absolutely. It's tough, and I think it's particularly tough. I mean, 20, 25 years ago, somebody wanted to go into business, they could hang out their shingle and go about their business. Today, mm-hmm. government regulations, state regulations, all of these things are making it so much more difficult, and the paperwork is astounding that the government requires and state agencies.
Oh, yes. And the larger you get, the more there is. So you want to grow. You want to make more money. You want to provide some jobs for your community. But you're right. The regulations do hamper that sometimes. And they certainly make it more time consuming. Another thing is that it used to be simple to market or promote your business. Now there are so many avenues, and if you don't address all the avenues, or at least the ones that are applicable to your prospects and customers, then your word doesn't get out. It's not like you can just put an ad in the paper. You may have to put an ad in the paper, and you may have to spend 10 hours a week on some kind of social media. And you may also have to speak somewhere a couple times a month just to get the word out, because there's so many sources now, and everybody looks at the sources they're interested in, which is another thing that we always try to help people with, is in order to make your business successful, you have to know who your customers are, or you may be just putting your information out to people who don't care and aren't listening, and you're not reaching the ones who might be giving their money to you.
Absolutely. And it is, you're right, it is so much more difficult. And I think a lot of people think, oh, Facebook is the answer, you know, just go out there and put it on social media and you've got it out there. But that's not exactly true.
No, and I can say that from firsthand experience. And LinkedIn is the sort of the business version of Facebook. And there are some others, but those are probably the two best known. But as you said, I still have my own consulting business, and I still do projects for government agencies and nonprofits, mostly research projects. But I've never gotten a client from Facebook or even LinkedIn, but I have sold books through doing things on Facebook. So if you have a commodity to sell, you may do better. Or if you have a restaurant or something where you're selling to consumers, Facebook's probably a better answer. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you don't need a Facebook presence, but that's probably not where you need to spend most of your marketing time if you have a product or service that you're trying to sell to corporations or to state government agencies.
Sure. So it is a tricky road out there anymore, where it used to be, you're right, the newspaper used to be just the source. Newspaper, maybe mm-hmm. a little TV, boom, bam, you got it.
Yeah.
Oh, and let's throw in the radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Too. As places to find it. But now markets are changing.
Yes, they are.
So I guess, do you find that many of the people that are going into business are people that have been displaced from jobs, like maybe big corporate jobs that have downsized and they've been out of work? I mean, I've read some articles about this. What are you finding for people that are willing and decided to open up a business?
We do find that some, but not as much as I thought we would, and not as much as you're probably thinking. It seems that most people that are displaced have to get displaced a couple of times before they get fed up with looking for a job. And then it's like, I'm going to seize control of my own life and stop being subject to other people's ineptness in business or poor decisions or government regulations or whatever. So we do see some of that. But most of the time, the people we see that are starting a business or who started a business a long time ago and have been successful and still running the business are because they had an idea that met a need. Now, notice I didn't say the word passion in there.
Yeah.
Passion is important, but if you are passionate about something that nobody else cares about, you probably won't make any money at it.
You'll be beating your own drum and it will be yes. hearing amongst a dead ears.
Yes. And that brings up another thought to my mind. A lot of times when I'm working with women business owners, and before I started just working with the Women's Business Center, I was working with a lot of different small businesses, so males and females. But a lot of times I see women, they want to start a business and they'll come to me and they'll say, I want to start a business because I want to help people. And I start talking to them and talking them through it, and usually what we end up with is they need to start a nonprofit. If their main focus is to help people, then they probably would be better off starting a nonprofit. If they want to help people, but they want to make money...
The capitalistic approach.
Yes. And there are ways, sometimes I've helped people start a business and then they also start a foundation sort of beside that. So the business can then feed some money into that foundation. They can grow the foundation, getting donations and input from other people, and then they can help people. But a business is designed to meet a need and provide a product or service. And it won't run without money coming in. So it's really two separate things. And sometimes it's difficult for women to feel comfortable about making money. So they really want to start a business and make some money, but they're more comfortable saying, I want to help people.
Well, let me just say this. Money makes the world go round the world. Go round. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with Janet Christie. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Hey, if you got a question for Janet, don't hesitate to pick up that phone and give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift... to last a lifetime, from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. You know, we've been talking about what's going to be going on over there in Clinton Entrepreneurial Readiness. We'll be 5:30 to 7:30 at Presbyterian College of Pharmacy, 307 North Broad Street in Clinton. The cost for the seminar is $20. And, of course, that will be coming up on May 16th. So plenty of time to get in on that. They also have some other programs, though. Here's one. The product is me. I love this. I love this because as a woman in business and part of it, juggling not only being a wife, a pet mom, and running two businesses, it's tough to cover all the bases and get everything done.
Oh, it is. And to be successful in your business, because if we're not careful, those other things will take all of our time, because we certainly don't want to not take care of our children or dogs,
right,
and our husbands and our households and our community relations and things we need to volunteer for.
And don't you think, I think women that, I'm going to say 40 plus, they feel they have to do it all.
Yes.
Now, I'm not seeing that so much in the 25 to 35, maybe that age group right there. We've had guys that are now growing up understanding that they have to help with housework and they have to be able to cook and whatnot. But those of us that are married to that older guy who kind of goes with that traditional relationship where you do all the housework and you do the mm-hmm. cooking and you do this, that, and the other,
yes.
It's tough for women in that age bracket.
Oh, it is. Because... you know, I grew up in that environment, and I remember my mother telling me, she made me take home ec in high school, and your listeners under 30 won't know what home ec is,
right,
but that's
exactly
where we learn to manage a home. So she made me take home ec, and then she said, and you really need to take typing because you might have to get a job. So, but in her defense, she thought she was preparing me for what my life would be like. Now, you know, I've owned a business for a long time. I've worked in the corporate world, and now I help other women own and start and run businesses. But you're right. That's the way, kind of the way that we think. So it's also another thing that she taught me and my grandmother taught me and other women by example is that women should not brag on themselves. And so that's one of the reasons for this seminar, because so many women go into a business that is service oriented and the product is them, the woman who owns the business, because it's their experience or their education or their abilities or what they've done. And I'm an example of that because I worked in the corporate world for a long time and now I do research projects for people or I help them start businesses. So, you know, we know how to do those things and we have these nice products and services, but if we promote it, it feels a little bit like bragging, and we were taught not to do that. So we have a panel of people that are going to talk about some of these issues, the balancing of home and business and other pieces of your life so that you can successfully run a business and so that your husband understands why when you start a business, it's going to take 60 or 80 hours a week to start with before you start making money. And then also understanding and bragging, or, well, not bragging. I've got to stop using that word.
No, promoting. You don't. Bragging is a good thing when you've done a good job. That's what I believe.
Well, promoting your business and also, you know, the marketing obstacles for small service-oriented business. So we'll be talking about all those things, and those panelists who are successful women in business will be answering the questions. And that seminar will be May 29th, and we're doing it in Greenville because that's kind of central to the upstate. And we'll be doing at the Marriott, and that is from 3 to 5:15 on May 29th.
Absolutely. Cost is $25 for that, and you can find out about that at, what's the website?
SCWBC.net.
You're not going to be able to think about it without thinking about
wrestling. I know.
Wrestling.
Now I'm going to be thinking wrestling all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think that one of the obstacles is actually husbands understanding what it actually takes. They've always been the ones that, you know, going to work, they have been supportive, but they've been out there doing their thing. Now for a woman to add in that she wants to do something, that can create quite a strain.
Yes, and actually I work with a lot of women business owners, either that are startup or have had their own business and have for a while, and their husbands may also be entrepreneurs, not in the same business, although I see plenty of that
thank
too.
Thank God for that. That's tough to be in business with your husband. God knows I know, Jeff. I love you.
Well, and I do get in some caught between some family squabbles sometimes, because a lot of times it is a family-owned business. You know,
sure.
Anytime it's a small business and you're dealing with the owner, it very often is a family business.
Sure.
But so a lot of these women are owners with their husbands, or their husbands may also be entrepreneurs. So there is some of that competition for time, but also, you know, are you going to pick up the kids today? Because I've got these meetings and my business won't run if I don't go to these meetings.
Sure.
It's not that I've got to tell my boss I won't go. I am the boss.
Right. And that's a big difference, too, for women. We haven't even talked about that, is being a boss. As a woman in a business, that is a huge one for a lot of women. A lot of women, I think, actually start out with, well, we can be friends and get the job done. Doesn't work that way.
No. My daughter recently got promoted to be an office supervisor. And, of course, she'd been friends with people in that office for a while. And the first thing, when she first got promoted, I said, okay, you can't be friends with those people anymore. You know, you can be friendly,
right.
But you're going to have to tell them what to do, and they're going to get mad at you, and they're going to say, we're not friends anymore.
Right.
And they're right. You're not friends anymore because you're their boss. So it is tough. And women won't, you know, we want everybody to like us. We want to make everybody happy. We want to make harmony and balance. And
how did we get stuck with all these roles? That's what I want to know,
I'm
Janet.
Not sure. I need to go back and ask my mother that one.
Because it's true. We do feel that we can balance everything. And I think, you know, let's see, what was it? Virginia Slims, the 24-hour woman?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, we still try to do all those things. And, you know, in today's world, Women want to be the perfect parent.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I do think it's great. Men are actually coming much more on board with helping with childcare and being parenting as a couple now. But still, women do try to do all these different things, whether mm-hmm. it's getting the cupcakes for the party and yes. the kids and taking care of the clothing and all these things. It's a lot to take care of and still run a business. So to those women that are out there doing it, kudos to you.
Yes.
Kudos.
Yes. Applause, applause.
Absolutely.
But what you just said is the reason women make such good entrepreneurs, because they can.
Because they do have to budget all their time and yes. everything, yes.
And they know how to allocate time to lots of different tasks and responsibilities. So they make great entrepreneurs if they just give themselves permission to go into business, to be successful in a business, and to make money at it.
So do you have to ask anybody, or you just have to give it yourself?
You just have to give it yourself. And even me as the business counselor, you don't have to ask me.
You can just go ahead and do this.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's the South Carolina Women's Business Center. And if you want to look up their website, what's that website one more time?
SCWBC.net.
That's right. And, of course, Janet, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they go about getting in touch with you?
Well, you've mentioned some of the seminars, but we do one-on-one counseling, and there is actually no charge for that. Wow. So they would
just
get in.
I'm going to have to talk to you after we get off the air.
Okay. And actually, that's simple, too, to get in touch with me. It's janet@scwbc.net. And they can do it through the website, too.
Through the website. So check out the website. You'll be amazed at the different things that are there. If you need financing, if you need advice, if you just like to know if you're on the right track, you know, all these things are available to you really at no cost.
Yes.
I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yes. Most of it is for free. The seminars, there's a small cost, but we can keep those costs low because of the SBA funding and the private donations.
Absolutely. Hey, and if you'd like to talk to her, I guess just contact you through email, or is there a telephone number?
There is a telephone number. It is 864-244-4117. But if you're driving and you don't have paper, it's on the website, too.
Okay. Janet, anything else you'd like us to know? We've talked about the seminar coming up. The closest one, of course, and the soonest one is going to be May 16th over there at the Presbyterian College School of Pharmacy. It's from 5:30 to 7:30 on May 16th. It's only $20 for the seminar. We've talked about the other one coming up May 29th. We haven't talked about this one. I think
it's
a terrific
tea
idea.
Party.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that real quick.
Well, as I said earlier, there's a lot of opportunities for women in construction, and you don't have to be doing things with nails and asphalt. So we're having a networking party, a hard hat tea party. Actually, we're doing it with Habitat for Humanity, so there is no admission charge, but we're asking that you consider bringing a gift card to like a Lowe's or Home Depot or even Walmart or Sears, an appliance store or construction supply. So that will be on June 3rd. It's from 4 to 6:30. The information's on the website, but it'll be an opportunity to network with other women business owners, but also with people both government agencies and construction companies to maybe find some opportunities.
It's terrific. Hey, you know what? It's been a real pleasure to have you
Thank
here today.
Thank you for having me. I've had fun.
Absolutely. It's a good thing. Hey, this is Janet Christie. She is available at scwbc.net. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. I'm Ann Eller. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.